Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report. Damien Fleming, and of course joined by the middle order superstar of T20 cricket, Victorian cricket, average 55 in test match cricket, Bradley Hodge.
Yes, I'm here. Thanks, Flynn.
Hey, Ashes, you've been enjoying it?
It's been pretty cool actually, yeah, I have enjoyed it. Following world cricket at the moment, there's some good cricket going on, there's some pretty average cricket going on as well.
It's a test championship.
It is.
So has it captured your imagination, euphoria? What are your first thoughts a few tests in?
Well, not really.
It's a test championship.
I haven't really accepted it, I suppose. Okay. All I've really taken notice is the Ashes. I don't really get the points. I had a look at India and West Indies. That was just a waste of time. India, far too good.
No, we'll talk about that.
Why the West Indies choose to bowl first every time when they win a toss is beyond me. And New Zealand, Sri Lanka, which has been an interesting little comp over there. But it's all about the Ashes for us, isn't it?
So talking about the Ashes, going into the fourth test match, changes. So Mitchell Starc and Stephen Smith into the 12.
Yep.
And Usman Khawaja, who captained the tour game against Derbyshire, out.
It's pretty harsh.
That's when a bit weird, isn't it?
It's weird when you get given the captaincy and then, you know.
So are you thinking, I'm next in line?
Absolutely. You have
Payne
to be,
gets injured, I'm captaining. No, Uzi, you're not playing.
Well, we know that in the past 18 months, whoever's vice captain of the country, you're in trouble.
Don't do it.
You're on the outer. So that's what's happened to Usman. Yeah, interesting selection. Not unjust, I don't think. I think he's really actually, if you dive into the numbers, he's actually struggled everywhere away from Australia. So, I mean, how long can you actually continue to put up with those figures batting at number three? Bubba Shane's actually overachieved in my book. I didn't expect him to get past 20 if he got a chance. So I've got to eat my humble pie and go, well done.
Yeah, with Usman, six tests in England, 236 runs at 19. That's a pretty good run. I mean, I'm a big Usman fan.
Yeah.
But probably he's actually made a couple of good 30s and 40s. They've got to be hundreds, haven't they? That's what hurts you, man.
Yeah, he's been making 30s and 40s.
Because you'll get out, fail every now and again.
Yeah, he will. You've got to make hundreds. That's going to keep you in the test side. I don't think Justin is, you know, in a position to accept the mediocre results. And I think that's unfortunate what's happened to Khawaja. He's had plenty of opportunity. He should be flying. When he came into that one-day side in India and brained it with Finchie at the top, I thought he'd be on for a cracking international summer overseas. Didn't have a huge impact in the World Cup.
Yeah, he was okay.
And has struggled here as well. So I think it's not a wrong call.
Mitchell Starc, so Paddo's out. So I'm still not totally on top of the rotating and resting sort of thing.
Hasn't Paddo had enough time off?
Well, I would have thought so. I would have thought if he was the man, he actually would have played the second test match. They had 8 days off.
Yeah, now it's been 2 weeks off.
You know, we don't know whether there's.
Who would you like interest. To see? Who's your best
that's
attack?
That's a good call. I do like, if Mitchell Stark's at his best, Well, you got left arm variety, pace, the in swinger. Remember that ball he knocked over Ben Stokes with in the World Cup?
Actually, Yorker, was it?
You know, so you're thinking, wow, he can do that. Intimidate the tail.
Yep.
But, and bats pretty well. But what he does, he can leak runs. And if he's not swinging the ball, you know, I have real concerns there. But for Old Trafford, you know, they're saying that there might not be a lot of grass on there. Reverse swing should play. And then he does rough it up for Nathan Lyon too, doesn't he? So well, I'm saying if they're all at their best, I don't mind any combination. I reckon any three of those five fast bowlers can get 20 wickets. But if they're all at their best, you'd like a bit of left-arm variety.
Look, I'm busting to see Mitchell Starc play just for a couple of reasons. One, you talked about the new ball, and Australia's been dominant with that new ball. So I'm going to trying to work out where he's going to fit, or will he be given the new ball?
I think he has to. See, the thing is, Patrick Cummins is a superstar, but he doesn't actually hit the stumps with the new ball.
No.
You know, he bowls fourth or fifth stump line and bangs the deck. He doesn't swing the ball, Cummo. So for me, that's a perfect first change.
Yeah.
If Starc, you know, two or three overs isn't working, you can bring Cummins on straight away.
Mm.
But if Stark's first change and his first two or three overs are no good, and Hazelwood and Cummo have bowled eight overs, you're in a lot of trouble. And then sometimes with the older ball, Starc doesn't think about swinging it and can come over and around the wicket. So I'd be taking him with the new ball, certainly.
Mm.
Although you'd probably know more than me. Sometimes the Dukes can be weird, can't they? Not swing much in the six, eight overs and then start swinging after a dozen overs.
Yeah, there's a particular lacquer on the outside of the ball. And often the English, when you're in the field, they shine the ball really, really violently in the first one or two overs.
Just to get a buffer?
Yeah, no, so they try and take that actual initial lacquer off. Yeah, yeah. So there's a little covering of, it's like a clear vinyl, and you try and get rid of that clear vinyl, and then you can start to shine the ball. That's what they do, and that's how they get it actually red. But it can also be determined, the darkness of the leather on the ball as well can determine whether it swings more or less. But yeah, it's all about conditions as well. If it's overcast, it'll swing.
Well, Kookaburra now got a microchip in the ball that'll, you know, tell you how pace and velocity and all that sort of stuff. I wonder if they get to a microchip where you go, "Are you going to swing today?" Kookaburra ball. Yes. Okay. We will use.
Well, that wouldn't be good because then you'd be the coach would come up and say, "Sorry, Flem, it's not going to swing today. We're going to pick Stuart Clark.
Make sure you get the drinks out there, mate." Geez, I cop that a lot.
Yeah, just back on Mitchell Starc though. What I want to see him bowl in those middle periods, and the reason is that you talked about reverse swing. Will he be able to be as effective in this period with no reverse swing that hasn't been tampered with in the past? We know what happened in South Africa. That wasn't a first, in my opinion.
No.
So I'm looking forward to seeing his effectiveness after this new ball gets worn.
Tim Payne was asked at his press conference what they're doing to get the ball reverse. He just said putting saliva on the ball and shining it quite vigorously.
Well, that's good. At least it's not a foreign object. No, look, there's all different techniques, as you know.
But the thing has always amused me was in England, that 05 series, the ball was reversing in about 18 overs.
Yeah.
The outfield's great.
Yeah.
And the pitch is great.
True. Yeah, it was interesting.
So the mints is coming to
mints,
play.
The mints were big. They were very good actually at getting the lacquer off that ball early, and then keeping the mints shiny on one side. But what was also evident in that series is that Flintoff, Harmison, Hoggard, and Jones, just before a spell though of the bowl, they went off the field. They showered. Yeah. Smack down a can of Red Bull.
Okay.
And come out and bowl like the speed of sound. So in terms of player management, it was actually pretty much spot on to be able to get your player to perform at an optimum level. Because he's going to bowl six overs. Then they just come off and they just kept rotating on and off the field.
It wasn't just that. You were doing... you took over my role from... I was in 2001 running out the drinks. You did 2005. They also didn't mind the odd replacement fielder. How did Ricky Ponting go with the Gary Pratt running?
I'm still surprised, actually, that the pavilion at Nottingham is still standing. Because when Pano did get out, geez, he shook the pillars of Nottingham when he went straight up the stairs. And, you know, there's two levels at Nottingham, and he didn't really enter into the Australian dressing room. He just kept going straight up the stairs to the English.
Isn't it funny, though?
It's brilliant.
In cricket, how you know, just the odd individual pops up and you remember him. So, yeah, you asked me if I had, you know, number five for India in a 1998 one day in Cochin. Yeah. I don't know, but no. I always remember Gary Pratt.
You know Gary Pratt. I actually played with Gary Pratt at Durham.
Good fieldsman?
He was an outstanding fieldsman. Couldn't really bat much. No. He was a decent number five with some shots here and there, but like all of us, generally just nicked it to the slips.
But even that was the laws allowed it, so good tick. You know, they used minties. They took the bowlers off to shower and get ready, stretch up and all that, and then they used the replacement fieldsman.
Yeah.
Right to the top end of the spirit of cricket, but...
Yeah.
They won the Ashes first time for, what, 30 years?
It was a super performance. I mean, you can dissect that whole 2005 series with a microscope.
But we're going to talk about a little bit more going into Old Trafford because you were there. Just quickly, England, Wokes out Overton in.
Mm. Yeah, interesting call. I don't mind it if you're an English supporter. I think Overton's got some...
About 6'5". He debuted against Australia last year out here.
Did okay. Conditions didn't really suit him. Was it Adelaide
he debuted? Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
But he's bouncier than Wokes. Isn't he taller?
Yeah, this is a good move. I think Wokes has just started to lack a little bit of penetration.
He's definitely bowled a lot less since Archer's come in, hasn't he, Wokes? Yeah.
Yes. And I don't know why. I think that's just... Joe Root getting excited with his new toy, isn't he? And look, they've got to be careful of that. You can't over bowl your strike bowler.
He's been a good Christmas present, though,
absolutely.
Joffre.
I'm surprised he actually didn't play in the first test, to be honest.
Yeah.
Imagine partnering Jimmy Anderson and Broad with Archer. That's a great attack.
Talk about England. So they've kept the batting, which is, you know, Jason Roy, wow. If you talk about Usman Khawaja... getting dropped. I mean, Jason Roy is, you know, getting all-time worst batting figures for a top-order batsman. There's talk about, I think they need to do it.
You know, I don't get
Denley
this.
Denley opening and Roy dropping down.
Yeah, I don't get it, though. This is why I like the...
Or do you just drop Roy?
Well, this is why I like the omission of Usman Khawaja.
Yeah.
Because there was talk that Usman was going to go to the top. Well, if you wanted to do that role, you should have done it a long time. But you can't just go, oh, this one's not working for me here. I want to try someone else. I like the fact that the Australian selectors have stuck with Harris. Yep. He's come in halfway through the tournament to give him Bancroft a shot. Harris comes in on a dodgy, wet green wicket in Headingley. Nick's off.
It would have been a tough call.
Yeah,
wouldn't
no
it?
Problem.
Down here, two innings.
And I think he's an opener for the future. And can play in all conditions around the world. Usman, I think's had enough opportunities, we've said here, to say, sorry, but the numbers aren't actually that fantastic. You need to sit it out. Jason Roy, what a golden ticket he's been given to say, you know what, we know you can't play the new ball. Let's try and sit you down somewhere in the middle order. What that would do for me is it question my skill. I'm not sure this is a great move. I don't think he's going to be successful at number four either. Because secretly, he'll be thinking, I'm just not good enough at this level. So everything has to go right for him to be successful. Don't you think? If you're a bowler, you'd be all over that.
It wouldn't matter if he's batting seven.
No, you'd be rapt to see him come in at this.
Not with the white ball. White ball, he is a superstar. Red ball, he's very, very average. He's very lucky to get another test match.
Very lucky.
But I like what you're saying. The Aussies are gone, no, you're a number three, Usman. You failed at number three. You dropped. If you come back in, you're batting at number three.
Mm.
With this Roy move, and to be honest, I don't think Denley's good enough either.
No, he's not.
So, you know, that was a very important 50 he got. But once again, every time he gets runs, there's a lot of chances.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, that's the only time he's got runs. Tell you what he's got, though, Denley. That run out of Labuschagne was wow.
Wow.
That's what changed the test.
It did.
Labuschagne could have got 100, you know, got the score outside England there, but Denley is an absolute gun fieldsman.
What's your thoughts on Mitchell Marsh? There was some talk about him coming in during the week.
That would go against the Usman scenario, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You got dropped because of lack of runs.
Yes.
And we're just going to put you in because we need a right-hander.
What? Yeah, that's bizarre.
And surely they didn't need his overs because he's just another right-arm quick. And if you're getting rested and rotated, surely these three quicks can bowl 50 overs.
No, I think Mitchell Marsh should do... what would be great for him to have a good county stint, I reckon, for a full season. And just bat.
And shield.
Yeah, and just work out how you feel as a player after another 50 innings is under your belt, bowling in different conditions. He's going to be a very good player. I don't think he's still young. Still young.
He's still young, but I totally agree. I just thought once he got dropped last summer, I just wanted him to have an extended run playing domestic cricket and getting a lot of runs.
Well, now he's not getting that, is he, really? I know there's not domestic cricket back here, but whilst he's over there, he should actually be trying to play some county cricket. So we've seen what's happened to Labuschagne, Bancroft, Matty Wade, Alex Carey, all getting opportunities overseas, doing well, and then getting their name back up in lights.
Well, wasn't there talk of that on the 2005 tour? Didn't Stuart McGill make his way to play some county cricket and then got called back?
He did. I think he went to Nottingham.
He went to Notts and then it didn't play. But at the time, it sounded like a good idea.
Well, it was a good idea.
McGill would have taken that well.
Well, he was happy to go anyway, because I think that him and John Buchanan weren't seeing eye to eye on that particular time as well. So I think he was happy to get out of there.
I'd love to see that sitcom, the Buck and McGill sitcom with just the odd cameo from Shane Warne.
Yeah, what was interesting on that particular tour in 2005 is the non-selection of McGill actually at the Oval on that last day when the Ashes were up for grabs. I think that was an emotional bad choice.
Yeah. Turns and bounces, Oval.
And, you know, McGill hadn't been the best tourist. He hadn't been the worst either. But that was the time, that was what he was selected for. And just to go past that
Warnie
selection.
Warnie used to get wickets for fun at the
for
Oval.
For fun. And, yeah, I just thought that was the time where it was an emotional
and we needed to win, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, he didn't get an opportunity. He was pretty upset about it, McGill, and rightly so, because he'd been waiting for that opportunity.
Yeah, he would have targeted that test match.
Yeah,
on that
play. No doubt.
What about plenty of banter going on? In the Herald Sun, they're saying, Lippy test rookie Jofra Archer getting under Australia's skin before he's even bowled another ball in anger.
Yeah.
The English are saying that the air of invincibility's gone. There'll be lingering effects psychologically for Stephen Smith when he got hit there. So Root was bringing that into the press conferences as well.
Yeah.
Stuart Broad said, bring Dave Warner on.
I did say
I reckon
that.
I've got him. So a little bit of banter, which I don't mind because it's such a big test match, isn't it? If Australia win it, series can be drawn, but we can't lose the Ashes.
Correct.
And if England win it, wow, momentum going their way massively.
Well, look, it's going to be an interesting test, there's no doubt. A little bit of banter. It's not surprising it's come in. Jofra Archer, it's good that he's actually speaking. I've never actually seen him physically say a word. You don't get much out of the West Indies at best, even though he's now English. So he's up and about. He's just doing his job as a fast bowler, Flem. I would have thought,
bouncy.
He doesn't need to say anything.
What about Stephen Smith? You get hit like that. Does it weigh on your mind next time you face that bowler? Like, how many times do you get hit?
It does. I got hit only a couple, actually. Michael Kasprowitz hit me twice on the badge. He's the only one that actually hit me on the helmet.
Yeah.
I top-edged one off Ashi Nofke sort of into my grill.
Yeah, that's different.
And that sort of broke through the grill and smacked me between the eyes. And the other one which I had was dropping that catch at the MCG off Mick Lewis, where I'm colorblind. I lost it in the red Melbourne Footy Club seats. And I actually, and this is not even batting, and my eyes sort of closed over and I had to go and bat the next day. And I was actually physically scared.
Yeah.
And Channel 7's own Greg Blewett was kind enough to bowl, he wasn't bowling. He said, Mark Harrity, try and knock his head off.
Yeah.
So you knew it was actually coming, but I was physically scared because I didn't think that I knew that I could possibly get hurt. Because I couldn't see the ball.
Yeah.
Steve Smith will definitely have this in the back of his mind. This will take him a while to get over that. Because what happens is, as a batter, you try and have a clear mind, but secretly he'll know that this bouncer, when it comes, can physically hurt him. So he'll be looking for it. So then that mumbles up your footwork.
Definitely.
Even though he's got weird footwork anyway, it might actually catch him off guard. So that's why we heard Justin Langer saying we hope he can get back in the zone pretty quickly.
But Alfie would know, Justin. He got hit about 20 times.
He hit all the time, didn't he? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So
it's almost like the test match didn't start until Langer got hit in the head. No, okay, we can start going now.
How many DRS things would have Alfie taken? He got hit on the pad first ball every time. I reckon they'll plumb every time.
And I think somehow there was an ugly New Zealand series that started, you know, plumb and... Not the tallest man. Generally, they weren't going over.
Nah.
But there was, I know there was a New Zealand test, wasn't there, Brizzy? That, oh.
I think Hoggard had him probably a couple of times as well, given not out.
Yeah, Hoggard struggled, him and Haydos.
Yeah.
Haydos used to get caught at cover or at short cover or mid-wicket a lot, didn't
he? Yeah, lack of pace for Haydos. He just wanted to bang it over the top. But, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, he actually does move into the line of the ball, Steve Smith, so...
But the other thing you said, the thing about Archer's bouncer though, and they've got to be careful how much they use him. And you want it, I still think he's a shock bowler, and they've got Stokes, who's a very good bowler himself. Like he doesn't have to bowl that many overs, but his bouncer shocks everyone. You know, you look at him, he just waddles through the crease, looks like he's just bowling within himself. But geez, he's tall at release.
Well, and the other
he doesn't
thing
collapse from, too much.
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't look like he gives any cues.
So people try to ride him, don't they?
Yeah.
And it gets big. The bouncer gets big on the batsman.
Most times as a batter, when we can actually predict a bouncer, is you can see the... And this is weird because you talk about little things that give it away. Most bowlers, actually their left shoulder just falls away marginally when they're going to bowl a real short one. And you don't actually, you're not looking for it, but somehow visually you'll just pick it up.
Yeah, you're trained over time.
And Archer doesn't seem to give any of that away. I remember Pigeon did the same thing.
When he was young, yeah.
He never actually changed his action. He just released the ball later and had that fast wrist action. His bumper was pretty dangerous early on.
Well, the thing is with Pigeon as well, their bouncer isn't that much shorter than their stock ball, whereas you have 6 foot bowlers. Well, they have to bowl shorter, don't they?
Yes, they do
to get it up there. But guess who's back? Not Arnie or Arnold Schwarzenegger. No, Rambo's back. Rambo 4. Tugger's back.
He is.
So he was a mentor for the first two tests.
Yeah,
Australian did pretty well.
Yeah,
goes home, we lose. So guess what?
Come back in,
Tug.
Come back in for some more cash, Tugger. Is that it?
He's back.
Brilliant. Oh, I think it's great to have him on the balcony. So there's not many people that give more inspiration to the Australian team than Tugger,
isn't he? He's the muse. He gets in there. He was cleaning Marnus's boots.
I did see that.
And trying to get a bit of Nerds and Julio's back there. But
I can't believe he didn't say, piss off, Marnus. Just shoot your Muppet.
I'll be interested to talk to Steve after and what his thoughts about
it. Were you caught up with him prior to the test match?
He'd already seen some things that he, you know, sort of questioned. You know, why aren't they doing that? We used to do this, you know, that sort of more team orientated sort of stuff.
What sort of things? Group warm-ups?
I just think in the warm-ups, yeah. I mean, we used to have pretty vocal games between the Nerds and Julios with AFL, touch footy,
you were Julios,
soccer.
Were you?
Yeah, not quite.
Ah.
No, it's in the other team. But we had Steve Waugh and Gilly and Punter, so we generally won most of the games.
What about, they should have had a heavy metal versus,
Well, we would have had...
Boys to men.
We would have had three teams, though. The heavy metal guys, me and Casper and Dizzy.
Yeah.
The Backstreet Boys, Warnie, Blewett and Slater.
Yeah.
But then we also had the Country and Western Boys
with
Steve Waugh. And they were the guys who wanted games, you know, sucking up to the captain. But with Tugger, like he was such an influential player that era that, you know, we played in. But also I reckon a lot of it was because when he started, you know, we lost to New Zealand, India. You know, he had the herd of, you know, he didn't win test matches. He wasn't scoring hundreds. So he was very inspirational with the way he went about it. He was ruthless when we got on top. But he brought some good tradition. Like he really liked the history of the game. So those numbers on our caps for the 1999 World Cup, just about every sporting team in the world puts numbers on their things now. Like he came
Everyone.
Up with that.
So, pioneer.
So I reckon he's a pioneer. That might have been one of his sponsors too.
Yeah.
He loved his sponsors. But
wonder what he thinks of the numbers on the back of the shirt.
Where are you with that?
Well, I don't mind it, actually. I quite like it. I know there's a lot of...
It doesn't bother me.
There's a lot of people on social media saying they don't like it.
Traditionalist.
To me, I think it's great for kids to actually be able to recognise and
I told you, it is
people
good.
Who are not great...
Commentating.
Absolutely. Really Oof. Good for commentating. So Oof. I think it's great. I think a lot of people in sport are recognised by a number.
Yep.
Not necessarily a name. So, you know, you think of the greats, Michael Jordan, number 23.
What about Shane Warne? Shane Warne's got... 17s for Australia.
17s for Australia. Shane Warne's got Michael Clark's there shirt number on the bottom of his pool.
He asked for that even though he hadn't heard of Michael Clark.
I love that. I remember going over to Warney's joint and going, mate, how come you got Pup's number on the bottom of your pool? He's like, piss off, Archie. Shut up, you idiot.
Yeah, but I haven't thought about that in Test cricket because, yeah, it is one of the nice things. You know, one day cricket, we started that late and you took over 17 for me.
Yeah.
You know, Marcus Stoinis has got there. So you have a little bit of a link.
I love that tradition now. Yeah, I think that's great. And you keep it, and you sort of... Yeah, you're proud of your shirt number, actually. So
we can do that in Test match.
Yeah, cricket. I think so.
As well as your baggy green, you've got your...
And us Australians can relate to it as well in other codes. You know, football, you can get it passed down. Oh, that's that legend's jumper who worn it in the 80s, you know. If you wear number 2 for the Melbourne Footy Club, you know it's the great Robbie Flowers. You know, those sort of things are important. Even NRL, same thing. So I reckon it's pretty cool.
I like that, Hodgie.
When at Lord's England plays Australia, when that happens, everything has to be just so.
Just quickly, obviously the third test match, one of the great test matches, one of the great test innings, Ben Stokes. Unbelievably, England out for 67, and their last wicket partnership was, 76? Mm. So I don't think that's happened a lot, that last wicket partnership in the second innings was worth more than the total of the first innings. Hazelwood back. 5 for 30.
Yeah.
Labuschagne, you mentioned him, 74 and 80. Brilliant. Warner got his first runs, then knocked over in the second innings by Stokes. Archer, 6 for. But Ben Stokes, you know, I said before the series, you know, he's not a man that averages 45 with the bat and 23 with the ball, superstar figures, but he wins you a couple of test matches a series. And the innings was amazing, but I reckon after that first innings, duck, what about the way he grabbed the ball? And I think he bowled 15, 16 overs, unchanged, and it was a 3-wicket haul, but it was worth so much more than that. But it actually showed what a great competitor he is, Ben Stokes, and then obviously he backed it up with a bat.
I think he's going to actually... I think since his World Cup and this knock here, this we know he's a gun player and he was a superstar beforehand, but this will put him up there, I think, in... the great all-rounders of the game. He'll continue this run from now on for a long, long time. I think you'll see that he'll make 15 or 16 test hundreds.
He can bowl too, Hodgie. Like, so bowls is out. He goes miles and late. He's got a good bouncer.
Yeah.
So, and with his batting, Hodgie, I mean, it wasn't a free-flowing knock in the World Cup final. The start of this wasn't either.
No.
What I like is how many batsmen in the world can go through all the three forms in a test match inning. So it was a boycott-like start.
It was.
Because that's what
it was
the game
required. It was 2 off 50 balls.
Yes. Then he started to go a bit of one-day cricket, wasn't he? Just hitting the gaps, putting the bad ball away.
Yeah.
And then the last 50 runs was T20.
Unbelievable.
It was T20 cricket. But
it was.
I was just waiting, going, oh, it's only one ball away. Even when it got 15 runs to get, I just going, oh, well, we'll still get this wicket. But Tim Payne admitted yesterday that, you know, they could have had different plans. You know, they went all out with Stokes. You know, they could have had the field up and backed into, well, you want to go over, you go over.
What do you think, Flem, about there was some talk about lack of communication between Tim Payne and his bowling group. If you're in that situation bowling, are you happy just to go about your work or you think you want some dialogue between the captain?
Oh, you'd need to be communicating with the captain, but you'd want plan A, B, C. I thought... Paddo was probably the only one that went those wide Yorkers and he didn't quite get them right. So I would have thought I would have gone through, field up at times, test cricket, then maybe a little bit of T20 where you bowl those wide balls, but have a 7-2 field.
Yeah.
You know, like, and force him. They just, Stokes did it brilliantly. We couldn't get Leach to face the first ball of the over.
No.
Then Hazelwood come over and bowled length. Bowled length. He got hit for 360.
He did. He did. It was not great.
I mean, Lyon looked the man most likely.
What was incredible was he had two back and Stokes then reverse swept him for six into the Western stand.
Shot.
Like, if you're troubled by a bowler, which he has been most times, when he comes on to bowl at Old Trafford, why doesn't he just reverse sweep him every ball for six like that and take the heat completely off?
Well, I'd say even if he plays the shot and just hits it okay, then Nathan Lyon goes, oh, okay, where am I going to bowl? He might reverse sweep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you're bowling, you're the proactive one. You just want the batsman to react.
Yes.
Like, more in one-day cricket, if a batsman walked at me or gave themselves some room, even if they didn't score off it, I'd be going, oh, you'd be second-guessing yourself as you're running into bowl. And that's one thing you don't want to do. But it was a brilliant knock.
One of the best. I mean,
tactically, as I said, we just couldn't get Leach to bat. It's not that he's not. He got 92 against Ireland. I mean, he's not. He's
did you see what was fantastic? I'm sure you saw this, and this was the reenactment of Leach's one run that he made on the social media. That was brilliant,
and just good. And that's another one is I like all these celebrations.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Go and celebrate. The Aussies commiserate.
Yep.
But each Test match, there's got to be some closure, and I'm glad the England boys.
Absolutely.
Celebrate and enjoy it. And well, they spend £100 at McDonald's.
100%.
Taking it in. And
didn't you? I mean, you played with Alan Border. He was a big advocate of someone enjoying the fruits of their labour.
Yeah,
you've worked hard. So everyone who's listening, a test match just doesn't go for 5 days. There's at least easily a 5 day build up to that test match. So effectively, it's a 10 day working day with no rest. And you've got to have enjoy
For me, I know there's a business element to playing cricket, but at the end, it was always sport for me.
Mm.
And what did I play for? I played for success and having fun with my mates.
Mm.
So if you couldn't celebrate winning a test match or a one-day series, I'd be just going, well, what are we playing for? It's not just for money and individual honours.
We loved the 4X beer, can of beer in the AB. Was that the tour where you were sponsored by 4X?
No. Yeah,
that was the one
I didn't
before.
Tour with AB, but no, they were the great tours because I think that's, 4X were a fabulous sponsor.
It was Merv that liked the 4X, wasn't it?
Well, I think it's something to look at now. I mean, the cricket schedule's so busy, but I think if you won every game, they got such a big bonus.
Mm.
And then I think England, the ECB would pay, if a county team beat a touring team, they'd get money.
Like, yeah.
That was a great idea, wasn't it? I know it's another time and
we
can't play the counties as much, or they put a second
one up. But it's a donkey 11 they put out now.
Yeah, I don't know if that Derbyshire was winning too many there. So Leach, probably the greatest one night in the history of Test cricket. I wanted to ask you, in close wins like that, we heard Denley was in the toilets. He couldn't watch. They started the partnership. He was in there, so he had to stay there.
Yeah.
Root stood up for every ball. A couple were in the massage room when Leach walks out, so they stayed there.
Yeah.
We're very superstitious, isn't it? I remember hearing that great partnership, Alan Border and Jeff Thompson.
Yes. The one-run loss, wasn't it?
Late that night, I think Marshy and Hooksy were having a few beers, to calm it. So the next day, they started drinking because that's what they did. Everyone stayed in the same seats.
Yeah.
Do you remember any close wins or losses? And
I remember it clearly, that 2005 match at Edgbaston where I was running the drinks and we were sort of in the dugout there, and it was Damien Martin who was clearly saying he was very much...
keeping the same seats.
Yes, absolutely. Don't move. Where are you going? Mate, I've got to get the gloves and some drinks. No, stay here for the next... Wait till the end of the over. And it was like everyone had to sort of stay in their little positions because I was superstitious that things were going well and they were going to get the job done. That's funny things as sportsmen.
But that's what we do, don't we? Like,
we do that.
I remember 94, 95 Ashes, Sydney, and we've dominated the test matches. good big run chase against England. Slats and Tubby Taylor get off to a flyer. Rain comes in, so we have to change it. Oh, we can't win now.
Yeah.
Start to defend, and I think Devon Malcolm, Gussie Fraser start running through us.
Yeah.
So much so that Maisie and Shane Warne had to bat out like 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I think it's me or Billy McDermott in next, but we're both padded up. Don't worry about that. And I was so and everyone's just standing in the same spot. And I, as usual, I have headphones on.
Yeah.
And I'm playing, I've just got a Game Boy.
Yeah.
So I'm playing that all week. And people think you're not concentrating, but I had to not watch every ball.
Yeah.
Like it was just, I was getting that nervous.
Yeah.
Phone rings, right? I'm going, who's ringing the SCG at this time?
Yeah.
And I hear this, flam, and I take my headphones off. It's phone call for you.
Right? No way.
So we're trying to save a test match.
Yeah.
Who's ringing? It was the young room attendant, not Merv, the old guy. So I get on and I hear this, Flammo. I go, yeah. He goes, are you guys still going for the run? Right? I'm trying to, what? I'm about to go back. What,
yeah.
What? I go, who is this? Oh, he goes, yeah, it's Danny. And I go, he goes, no, I've got a slab. I'm with the boys watching in Melbourne. We just want to know if you guys are still going for the run. So I just couldn't speak, and I just got heels. Take this. He starts talking. So I've got that in my mind. I'm about to, go out and bat. Put my headphones on. Back to the Game Boys.
Yeah.
In between, like this sort of stuff. So we get through, and so next test match, Adelaide. Bob Simpson does a meeting as usual. Our coach. And then at the end, he goes, "Okay, we've got some new rules for this test match." Headphones can be only used on the odd occasion.
Oh, dear.
No more electronic devices, and books can only be read at the appropriate thing. So finish the meeting, and Steve Waugh walks past me dryly, goes, "Do you reckon he was talking about you then?"
I'm pretty sure.
So a month later, I'm at the depot. You were probably there.
Yeah, probably.
Top of the Street Boys are there. Vic's
probably.
Are there. Guy taps me on the shoulder. He goes, "You don't know who I am." I go, "No." He goes,
"Dave.
Danny.
Danny, that's it." No way.
Had a few beers. It ends up, I'd met him a few times over my life. So I remember years before that, we're at Mental as Anything in Lawn. Merv and the Vicks are there.
Yeah.
Merv lifts me up to go stage dive, not stage dive, but you know, go along the crowd like that.
Yeah.
And another bloke lifts me up. Guess who the other guy was?
Danny. My God. What a legend. How did he actually get through to the Sydney dressing rooms at that time anyway?
I asked him that at the pub. Guess what he said?
No idea.
I'm Flem's brother. So, Danny, I don't know where you are.
Well done, Danny.
But a bloody legend. Hey, does Tim Payne need to go to DRS school?
Oh, he's just had a shocker. Not really. It was just panic, actually. So, just panic from Tim Payne. I'm sure that Justin would have had a chat to him and said, look.
0 from 9.
Yeah, it's not great.
In the field.
I think he's... Maybe someone else needs to take some leadership there and just say, look, I think that's not out. Or
so people go, like, it is still hard, though, Hodgie, isn't it? Like, as a keeper, a lot of the time you're blinded by the batsman.
Yeah.
The bowlers follow through off the danger area, so they don't get a great look at the line. I think they use point, you know, to see where the ball hits.
I don't think point can judge. No way.
But for me... It still gets back to that question. Why are the players umpiring the game?
Yeah, absolutely. They shouldn't have any say at all. I mean, the umpiring's been absolutely disgraceful since the semi-final of the World Cup.
Yep.
So they've had a stinking couple of months, the whole lot of them.
So
why that's happening, I'm not sure.
Well, we know Hawkeye and that aren't 100% correct either, but if there's a third umpire, I think we need to use it more. They're an actual umpire. There's too much pressure on the players. As I said, there's reasons why the players shouldn't be umpiring, but it's really hard for them to umpire.
Yeah, I think for me, actually, the technology's not good enough, so don't use it yet. I think go back to human error. I like the fact that human error is actually...
I don't think they go backwards,
but what's the difference? They're not actually making the right calls anyway, and then I think this DRS is actually a let-off.
Can you... update your LinkedIn to say potential ICC test match umpire.
Well, the thing is, no, I'm not going to do that. I struggled to stay in the field for 100 overs, let alone stand out there for 5 days. I do know that Paddy Upton is actually going to go over there and mentor a couple of these umpires. Oh, apparently. Yeah.
Okay. Is he got a sports psych background?
I'd say so. Not sure.
He likes his facial hair, doesn't he? Yeah. Right, just for the Aussies, just to finish up that test match, wasn't a lot of highlights, but Marnus Labuschagne.
Yeah.
It's done such a great job. I've always known he's very tough. His batting technique is more pure than Cam Bancroft, but he doesn't look a class player.
Yeah.
But for him to come in that fourth innings in the second test match, get runs, back it up here, says to me, County runs he's taken in.
Yep.
So he's in form. I think he knows his game really hard. Well, and he's a tough competitor.
Well, he's going to have to be. Oh, yeah. Well, he's absolutely well played. I mean, I'm surprised. I'm happy to say it, that I'm not sure that averaging 30 in first class cricket was going to get the job done. What I will say is, though, is that he's got to turn these into hundreds.
Yep.
Because if you get a couple of low scores, which will happen, it will compound, and all of a sudden you forget the 70s and you look and you go, oh, mate, you're averaging 22. So you've got to make hay while the sun shines. Yeah. So if you could have turned those great 70s into a couple of hundreds, it buys you some time.
But yeah, in a series where 30s, we've been praising 30s.
We can't praise 30s.
He's gone 350s in consecutive knocks.
Yeah, well, let's hope that he can now keep going and put some big knocks there and then really for his benefit as well.
And it does go in that theory that, unfortunately, for whatever reason, we don't have a lot of quality right-hand batsmen, but the couple of right-hand batsmen.
What do we need a right-hand batter for? The talk?
I don't know. Because the English bowls so well to the left-handers. So Smith and...
Does that mean that our left-handers aren't good enough then?
Well, possibly.
So...
But that's why the talk was Mitchell Marsh, to get another right-hander.
Mate, come on. I mean, really. I mean, if you're not doing your job, get dropped and get out.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty simple. So I don't understand how someone can bowl better to a left-hander than to a right-hander.
Well, I reckon...
Because I would have thought it's the other way around in world cricket. We went through a period where no one could actually get left-handers out.
No.
Langer, Hayden, Gilchrist, Trescotic, Strauss, all of them. Now we're looking for right-handers. You kidding me?
Yeah. Broad's got this great little away seaming delivery, hasn't he, from wide to the crease?
Well, that's just good bowling.
Yeah.
That's nothing to do with a right-hander, because he's actually got... If you actually watched a lot of the replays early on, he actually beat a lot of the right-handers with that leg cutter as well.
Yeah.
Going away. He's just in good form, good touch.
I reckon he's bowled fuller. He's bowled fuller broad. He's been excellent. I reckon LinkedIn, get rid of the test umpire. I'm going selector, Australian selector for you.
I'm up there. I'm going to have a chat, I think, to Kevin Roberts and say that, listen, I may be your future... So I'm not sure what's the prerequisites to be a selector.
I think turn up to meetings, be prepared to travel, get a little.
Is there a lot of sucking up involved there?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I couldn't do that.
okay, talking about, we're going to Old Trafford, which is pretty even for Aussies and the English. You know, there.
Very even.
You were part of the 05 draw. This is the one where Punter played one of his great defensive knocks.
156, got hit in the head. Harmison was a cracker.
And Binger and Glenn McGrath blocked it out.
Yeah.
Can you remember, what were your memories of that test match?
Well, my memories were sitting there watching, because it was side on as well back then at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
So it's not, they've changed the angle. So all I did was watch the speed guns. They had a big scoreboard out at Old Trafford at that stage. It was because they had the old traditional one, but then they had a movable electronic. And they kept putting the speed guns up of Harmison. It was 98, Flintoff 96,
Jones
was 95. And I'm like, oh my God, this is terror for our batsmen, actually.
And moving it.
Yeah. So I was thinking this is a good one to sit out.
Yeah.
And I remember that innings from Ponting. It was a phenomenal knock. I mean, really, he carried the bat as well, did well. Warney was actually pretty sensational in that game as well.
Did Warney get a 90 in that
Warney
game?
Warney actually did, and he bowled the house down as well.
That's one of the greatest series by an individual.
Yeah.
Well, it'd have to be the greatest one in a losing one. Didn't he get 400 runs and 40 wickets?
Yeah, I think so. And he actually smoked Ashley Giles as well. So he'd had enough of him coming around the wicket and trying to tie up our batsmen and not letting them score and let the quicks operate. And he thought, and first ball, I think he skipped down the wicket and hit him over long on for four and then just went on a running spree. He got caught out of deep mid-wicket trying to, in the 90s, it was a short ball.
Yeah, I think. And I he sort of tried to
keep it down but half paddle it and he was stiff. Anyway, it was a great knock. Ponting's knock was unbelievable. The ball speed, which you could see, and the carry at Old Trafford was frightening when you were sitting on the sideline. I actually went out and sub-fielded and took a catch.
Took
Michael Vaughan. It was raining and I was at fine leg. It was the top edge off Binger.
Don't come to me.
Anyway, I took it, which was great. And anyway, all the crowd were giving me a pile of shit as they were, you know, who are you, blah, blah, blah. And so I just gave them shit. And at that time, all I was doing was pumping iron and running laps because that's all I did. Anyway, I got quite massive and big.
Yeah, barrel chested anyway.
And there was this dude who was dressed in a kangaroo outfit and he was giving me shit all day. Anyway, I'm like, for the 2 hours that I was out in the field for, I can't remember who was off. Anyway, of course, I'm like, oh, piss off, you knob, you know, go and get stuffed in, anyway, he come back about, he disappeared. And I'm going, oh,
where's
beauty,
kangaroo
he's gone. Now? He's finally given him enough shit to get rid of him. Anyway, he's come back and he's got a bra on with two melons in this bra, dancing around in a kangaroo suit, going, I'm Hodgie, I'm Hodgie, I'm Hodgie.
You had to give him some love then.
I loved him. Anyway, I sort of tilt the head down. I'm like, oh, my God. Please, where's Binger? Get him back on the field, whoever it was off.
Did you take the catch before or after that?
Before.
Oh, thank God.
Before. I was only on the field for a pro.
We don't talk about this enough. No. Like one of the worst things cricketers can do, and that is coming on as the replacement fielder, isn't it?
I hadn't touched the ball.
You don't want to touch the ball.
No. So I thought it was only for an over. Oh. So it must have been dizzy or something. I went off because Binger was bowling, made a pigeon. Anyway, so down a fine leg, of course, I haven't touched the ball.
No.
So you don't know, you haven't warmed up or you don't know what it feels like. It's just drizzling at Old Trafford. Binger's bowled a short ball, Michael Vaughan top edge. And I looked up and all I could see is this mist coming into my eyes. And I'm like, oh my God, just please get a hold of it. Lucky enough, held on to it. And I'm like, I want to get off the field now.
So you get off. What about the Binger and Pigeon partnership?
Well,
did you think Pidge could get us home?
No, I didn't.
No.
Nah, no chance. Actually, Binger was in pretty good touch for the whole series. And after what he did at Edgbaston, he was batting quite well.
Yeah, him his and confidence was up. Handy tail ender.
So it's confident for them. As soon as Pidgeon,
no.
Didn't think that was going to last.
I remember watching it. But
not at that ball speed anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he was, he can hold an end up Pidgeon. We know that. We know he worked hard on his batting when he actually got an opportunity, but what, 95 miles an hour?
Swinging. So how's it going to play out, Old Trafford?
Look, I'm nervous for Australia, actually. I think England have got a lot of momentum. I'm really nervous that they'll be able to wrestle that back. Steve Smith is a concern. Still some top order issues for Australia, as have England, let's be honest. But I think once, we need something more out of our top order. I think our bowling unit's been great, actually. So can't have a
think
crack
both,
at them.
Both teams bowl well.
Yeah.
I just can't look at that England batting lineup and think they can win test matches. Stokes can't get 100 every time.
Nah.
The only concern for me, Root coming to play in the second innings, that third test. Yeah, if he gets going now and does what Smith did early, that's a concern. But their batting is just woeful. Like, everyone's into Tim Payne.
Yeah.
So why aren't they into Josh Butler? Josh Butler's...
no idea.
He can't get to 10.
No idea. Butler, Bairstow, Roy, they're all struggling. For us, we just need to get a little bit more out of Matty Wade as well.
Smithy, Labuschagne, and I want two more to come to the party.
Yeah, I think that'll happen. I think it's shown some glimpses of some form.
Yeah,
I'm confident Marcus Harris will do well.
David Warner, 19 in the second innings, but he looked pretty good, Harris.
A little bit too much talk about Warner, about he'll come good, which says to me that he's not in a great sort of mental space backing himself. So, yeah, he needs to find something against...
It's one of those ones. I just think every time Broad bowls him, every ball, I feel like he's going to get out.
It does look that way at the moment. He's just not hitting any bad balls. And when you're in a negative mindset, the bowler actually feels comfortable bowling to you. Oh, you know that, Flem.
Bring it on.
When someone is not actually in good shape, you dominate.
Just give me the ball.
That's it.
A Test Championship. India beat West Indies 2-0.
They didn't beat them. Strong. They catapulted over them.
The Indian bowling lineup is phenomenal.
Disappointing. West Indies, actually.
Shami and co.
I'm going to call for Jason Holder's head.
Oh,
really? I mean, he hasn't won a Test match for a long, long time. Or his record's not great.
Yeah.
And you can't win the toss against India and bowl.
That wouldn't be just his decision, though, would it?
Well, he's a captain, mate.
Coaches.
So you've got statistics. India hasn't been beaten in 15 Test matches being set in the bat.
Mm.
So, mate, as soon as they get 350 runs on the board, it's game over.
That says to me he's got no confidence in his batting.
Well, that's a shame. But, yeah, it was a bit of a boring old Test match, Bumrah. I must say. Bumrah's ridiculously
five
good.
For six for hat-tricks.
Not surprised.
Andy Roberts, Michael Holding, just wrapping him up.
Yeah, and rightly so. We saw him bowl out here in Australia, and it was ridiculously good.
Geez, we've treated some... I know we talk about Kohli, Smith, Williamson, Root and co.
Yeah,
batting-wise. Bowling-wise, Bumrah, Archer, Cummins, Hazelwood, and Bolt. Southie, I'm going to talk about that. Like, there's some really good quicks around too, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Shami's been outstanding, actually. I was surprised how good he was in this Australia series out here. There is some good quicks around. So it's good to see. When you've got ball speed and skill, one of the things with Test Match Cricket, Flemmers, we've seen is that the quality has actually gone up when the wickets are actually not as good for batting.
But this Ashes, do you think it's better that you feel like a wicket could fall?
Correct.
Every ball?
Correct.
As opposed to going, they'll only get out once they're bored.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. We want to see movement. That's why night Test matches with a pink ball are great. And
Saturday Night Fever was big in 1977.
Yep.
One man was very happy, made his maiden Test 100, Hanuma Vihari, and only one more man was happier than Vihari himself. Rishabh Pant. Bol Vihari. Remember over the summer? Bol Vihari.
He did well. He's a good player. Had a few chances, actually, Vihari.
You're a chance against the West Indies.
You do need a chance when you get your maiden Test century.
What about maiden Test 54? Ishant Sharma.
Oh, yeah. I did read that. Was he the player that's played the most Tests to then score a 50?
Yeah.
I can't think of it, maybe Pigeon, but I think Ishant's got it.
He got it a bit earlier there. So there's a few firsts. First maiden hat-trick for Bumrah. Maiden Test match for Rakeem Cornwall.
Yeah.
The heaviest Test cricketer ever, 140 kilos. He is 196 centimetres.
Yeah.
So it makes him heavier than former Australian captain. He was called the Big Ship, Warwick Armstrong. Yeah.
Well, I wonder if Rakeem should have done what the Big Ship should have done. If he got out, just said, no, thank you, I'm going to stay here.
He read the paper at Fine League, the Big Ship.
The crowd's here to see me bat, so I'm not out. I get three chances. How good would that have been?
He got three for the big fella.
Rakeem or the Big Ship?
I reckon the Ship got more than
that. Rakeem's actually a really talented bowler, and his record is very good. That's why I don't understand that you can't bowl off spin to India on a first day wicket and expect results. If there had been put 250 on the board, he may have actually had an impact in the game, but not the case.
No, they were so behind there. And just a shout out to someone else too. He's at the other end of the schedule. Kumar Roach, probably 177. Yeah. 193 Test wickets and 26 now.
Yeah.
Good on you.
He's doing well. Absolutely. They're pretty good numbers.
New Zealand 2 Tests. That's a good win over there. I know Sri Lanka aren't particularly strong, even though they beat South Africa in South Africa. Last Test, De Silva got 100, but some good ones. BJ Watling, the wicketkeeper, he's been very good for New Zealand. He got man the series, got 100.
Yeah.
And went
past Brendan McCullum's record as well, I think. So that's a serious achievement.
Like, he's been a very good player.
Yeah.
And 250 test wickets for the two great mates, Southey and Bolt.
Well, they've been phenomenal, haven't they? What can you say? They're just two really good conditional bowlers.
And they're coming out this summer, so that's going to be a good series, isn't it? Three test, Boxing Day.
Will be.
New Zealand versus Australia.
Will be very good.
What about Social Media Self-Promoter Award? Have you got a couple? I've actually got one.
Oh, well, let's hear yours first, if you can.
Yeah, just LinkedIn. LinkedIn's providing material for us. Well, so
good.
Jason's
not
here.
Providing me with shit because I can't get a job.
Maybe Jason can get you a job.
Come on, Jason.
Nah, he just LinkedIn a little tweet from the man that has come from nowhere in this award. The last man I thought would be challenging the Shark, Greg Norman, Steve Waugh, Tug.
Yes, I'm ready.
I know Tugger, well, he took a lot of photos when he was playing. Like, yep. He actually had his diary, but he's taken a photo of him having lunch with Justin Langer. So that's enough.
Yes.
Two superstars there, but guess who's with them?
I know this because I've actually got it on my schedule. Sir Alex Ferguson. Yes.
Yes.
I was all over that. Tugger, come on, man. Huh? Well done for dobbing him in. That's beautiful.
Tugger.
So Tugger's been on fire since he's rejoined the Australian cricketing network. Maybe he's got a little few tips for these youngsters about how to be really good.
It could help Stephen Smith.
Smith's awful.
Promotion.
Shocking.
A little bit of humour, a little bit of...
No, he's shocking.
No.
No, we're not with you, Steve Smith, on social media. What I am with, though, is someone who is making an increase in social media is Sourav Ganguly, the Dutta. I'm not sure what this is. He's just taking a photo of himself with stay fit dot dot.
I never thought he was the fittest cricketer.
No, unbelievable. I don't get that either. And just moving forward with Dutta, who continues to be strong.
Have you been following him for long? I've never thought about following him. I reckon there's some gold here.
There was another bit of gold where he's actually promoting thongs and runners. Anyway, brilliant. Who I do want to nail, this is a beauty, actually, David Bailey. The fitness trainer, yes. Of course, for the Australian women's cricket team. Life's better on a beach. Sandals, Grand Antigua. So he's promoting that he's, you know, chilling out on the beach, staying at this resort. What I love is that Elisa Healy said, but you're not actually even staying there.
Oh, very good. Elisa Healy, she's helping us.
Correct. Absolutely. So well done. Well done, Alyssa. You've dobbed in Dave for promoting something which he's not even a part of.
10 votes.
We love it. And there is the Steve Waugh one. What an absolute privilege and honour to have lunch with Sir Alex Ferguson. So many life stories. Get out of his ass, Tugger.
You're too
good anyway.
6 votes.
Shane Warne, on my way to Manchester for the first 4th Ashes test. Have a feeling it's going to be another cracker. He's not on his way. He's sitting in seats. Like, I don't see any form of transport there at all. He's actually already there.
So maybe you said...
He's at Yorkshire. So he's sitting in Yorkshire, but he's not on his way anyway because that happened 2 weeks ago.
So that's an incorrect social media self-promotion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm. Kevin Peterson is here. Intermittent fasting. I only don't eat from 7 p.m. till midday the day after. It's just a photo of himself really in a horrible, ugly state of sweating.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where that's at. But then we have a follow-up. The world's most expensive trainers have just turned up on my door. Thank you, at Con McCready. Look at those runners, hey? Aren't they flash?
Yeah.
So you little spoon.
Yes, KP, yes.
You've spooned beautifully off Conor McCready. Anyway. Well done, yeah. Thank you. They're beautiful. The story, your passion, the product are tremendous. Might be wasted on a kid from Pittsmansburg, but I'll give them a go. Anyway,
of course
follow my
Insta
story to see Trainer. Brilliant. Love it.
Can you follow that story?
This other one, this is really intriguing. This is just Suresh Raina. Just the selfie of himself with a plane and an Indian flag. So, listen...
Can we put something out there to these guys? If you're just going to take a photo of yourself, just make it a bit more interesting. Jeremy, have something in the background. Here I am.
Correct.
Blah, 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 blah. There's yep. just too much just boring selfies.
Boring. So I'm not sure what there's going on there with Suresh. Anyway, I just thought that's really average social media self-promote. There it is there. Good shoes and slippers look after the feet.
Oh,
Suresh Ganguly.
He's got the flannel.
How good's that?
He's going flannel too.
Yeah, how good's that? Anyway, that's all from me.
Okay.
And another one, Suresh Ganguly. Hello.
Now, can you follow him? Like, what is that?
What is that?
He's starting to look like the Wonder Years there.
Oh, no idea.
Disappointed no shark. Can you... Is there a... There's no...
There is shark. There was a shark update. There was a lot of posts about the troubles in Florida with the hurricane. So,
well, that's a positive.
Positive,
for the shark,
positive from the shark. So he'll bounce back.
Really, the main vote's to Bales, I think.
Yeah. Oh, it's
to
huge.
To promote as if you're staying there.
Correct.
Which is votes anyway. But then Alyssa
Brilliant.
Healy, you beauty there. Tugger 6. Everyone else too. They weren't the biggest.
No, not the biggest.
But they're there. Hey, just closing. Can't wait for this test match to start tonight. Shout out to our one listener in Luxembourg.
Brilliant.
Its home ground is the Pier Werner Cricket Ground in Wolverdane, which belongs to the country's largest club, the Optimist Cricket Club.
Wow.
I like to think they always think they're going to win.
Yeah.
You would, wouldn't you?
You would.
I'd love to actually pick an Optimist versus Pessimist.
How come
team.
They have...
Might do that.
How come they haven't...
The Optimists.
That's unbelievable.
Do you reckon we can beat... Well,
no, we can't.
No, we can't.
We can't. They're going to beat us.
They got full status, T20s, in 2018, and first game, beat Turkey.
I'm going to go and play for them.
We're going to get over there.
Yeah.
It's not actually a big country, Luxembourg.
No, it's not. It's only tiny. Capital's
so
Luxembourg as well, isn't it?
I think it's about 600,000 people.
How do you actually have a capital that's the same name as your country? Be like having Australia, the capital of Australia. Anyway.
I might follow that.
Good tax havens. We need to get there.
Yeah. So let's get ourselves out there.
Did you catch the big one in Iceland cricket as well?
No.
The big match between Reykjavik and Kapjavagor. It was a tight one.
Reykjavik will win that.
They did win, actually. It was their middle order that got them home, which I picked. In their 20 overs, they were 9 for 104. And in reply, they won by 19 runs, all out for 85. So it's a tight one there. The all-time scores between these two are now 13 apiece. This is a tremendous derby.
Are they playing
again this week or not? No, that's the end of the season.
You know how we call it the Ashes. Do they call it the Bergs, the Icebergs, or something like that?
Well,
I don't know.
It's called the.
We'll work that out.
I think it's called the Volcanic Ashes Series.
The Volcanic.
So, how good's that?
I like
not
it.
Many people know this is going on. The Volcanic Ashes Series. How good is that? I want to be
and
a part of it.
Keep listening. We will get over there one day at all these different sort of places. So, Hodgie, go Aussies.
Yeah, go Aussies.
Thanks for catch up. And we'll do a little bit of a review next week.
We will do.
Enter Don Bradman, who got a great ovation. And a special chair on the field.
So Donald Brown is definitely a great.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.